Well, thank you very much once again for inviting me to give a share on this prestigious Kailali and Nadaf. I was given a choice as to whether to do the Asugya relating to the Daf Yomi, which has now reached the second half of Bob Metzia, or whether to deal with the Inyona de Yoma, which of course is the Dry Vochen, the 3 weeks in which we are situated. So I thought I would try and combine the two by taking an Agoda from Daf Pehe on the base in Bob Metzia to try to elucidate that Agoda, but at the same time to tie it in with the concept of what we should be trying to achieve during this 3 weeks. Let me start with a number of general questions which we'll be touching on during this year. It starts in Parshas Vo'era, where the famous Rashi, where on the Pasuk there, which says Vo'era el Avraham el Yitzhak el Yaakov, Rashi says Vo'era el Ha'ovos. And all the Mefarshim have difficulty with this Rashi. It's most uncharacteristic for Rashi to change the wording of the Pasuk. Some say that it's a shorthand version of Avraham Yitzhak Yaakov, but it's most unlike Rashi to do that. And to tell us that Avraham Yitzhak and Yaakov are the Ovos seems rather simplistic, and we don't need Rashi to tell us that. So the Mefarshim have many different answers to that question. I'm going to come back to that with answering this question in as a result of what we're going to talk about shortly. The next question relates also to Parshas Shmos and Parshas Vo'era. On occasion, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says that I revealed myself to Avraham, Yitzchok, and Yaakov. And on other occasions, he says he reveals himself to Elokei Yitzchok, Elokei Avraham, Elokei Yitzchok, Velokei Yaakov. Now, it's obvious that there's only one Hashem, and he is the Hashem of Avraham, Yitzchok, and Yaakov. So why, in certain places, is Elokei Avraham, Yitzchok, and Yaakov, and yet in other places, is Elokei Avraham, Elokei Yitzchok, Velokei Yaakov, as if he's three different deities, which is obviously ridiculous. And the Mefarshim do explain that Avraham, Yitzchok, and Yaakov each served HaKadosh Baruch Hu with their own middah in their own way, and that's why the words are chosen in that context. The question is why in some places is it one way and in some places is it another way. And when we come to Shemoneh Esrei, the question is why do we say Elokei Avraham, Elokei Yitzchok, Velokei Yaakov, instead of just saying Baruch Atah Hashem, Elokeinu Elokei Avraham, Elokei Avraham, Yitzchok, Yaakov? Why have we chosen that particular idea of having a Kodesh Baruch Hu separated to each of the others? Now those are some preliminary questions, and with that I think I'd like to move to the actual Gemara itself on Pei Hei Amud Beis. We're going to deal with an Agoda. I was going to be very careful with Agadata because it isn't always to be taken absolutely literally. There's always a message, and it requires great erudition to understand what that message might be. But first of all, let's just go through the particular Gemara on Pei Hei Amud Beis and Baba Basra. It's talking about Eliyahu Hanavi. Eliyahu Havashchiach B'Mesivta DeRebi. Eliyahu used to come regularly to the yeshiva of Rebbe. Rebbe was the yeshiva of the day. He was the biggest yeshiva, the ponovich or the mir of that particular generation, where all the great gedolim were gathered together, and they decided the halacha. They made the Mishnah, of course. And Eliyahu Hanavi always takes part in places, good places, places where he would be very welcome and where he's got something to offer. So he used to turn up regularly in the yeshiva of Rebbe. Whether people could actually see Eliyahu physically is highly unlikely, but it means he was there, his presence was there somehow or other, and with the spiritual antennae of people of the caliber of Rebbe Yehuda HaNasi, was able to perceive that Eliyahu was actually present, and they were able to communicate in ways which we probably cannot possibly fathom at the moment. Yom Echada, one day, Reish Yarchahava, it was Rosh Chodesh. Now Rosh Chodesh is a special day, a day of extra Kedusha, And they didn't have a holiday in the Beis HaMikdash on Rosh Chodesh. There wasn't any holiday which was taken, was not taken from the Beis HaMikdash. They would put extra effort into their learning, Rosh Chodesh being a very special day. Reminds me of a digression. When I was a young boy, there was a mashgiach, a great mashgiach in Gateshead Yeshiva, known as Rav Moshe Schwab, Zichron Levracha. And he had, there was a balabos in town whom every day he would ask him, where's he up to? Where are you learning now? What are you learning now? So he said, I've been learning this masechta. Then he would tell him next. Every time he met him, he would tell him what he was learning. One day, Rav Moshe asked the balabos, Nu was lernt man heint? And he answered, Ich bin auf holiday. Rav Moshe was very rarely nonplussed, but on this occasion his jaw dropped. He just couldn't believe it, and he was very big about Moshe. He never would argue and tell the person off directly. He wanted to know what it was all about. And as soon as the balabos, who saw how the reaction of Rav Moshe, realized he'd upset Rav Moshe, and he said, I didn't mean to upset you. Nein, was ich habe gemeint ist, nechten habe ich geendet Tumura, was ist der schwerste Suge auf Shas. Yesterday I've just finished Maseches Tumura, which was the hardest Gemara in Shas. Jetzt bin ich auf Holiday, ich habe angenommen zu lernen, angeheben zu lernen Brochus. Das war mir a holiday. Now Moshe always used to tell this story, saying, boys, you should know that when you go on holiday, yes, nobody expects you to learn Tumura and Rab Chaim Brisk and all the big Londers. Oh, but epistles to learn and take a nice simple masechta, a nice simple thing to learn during the holidays. That was the concept of the holidays. So in Rabbi's Beis HaMikdash, I don't know what they were learning on Rosh Chodesh, but I can assure you they were learning and they were there. They were all there on time. Have a late. However, Eliyahu, however, he was late. Velo'osa, he didn't come. Now Eliyahu was considered to be one of the Chavrei HaKoilu, and just because he was the great Eliyahu Hanavi didn't exempt him from turning up and on time. So they were upset. So Omule, they said to him, my time Anogale Lama, why is the Rebbe so late? After all, we have to daven in Rosh Chodesh, we have to have a Beis HaMikdash, why are you late? Omule, I'll tell you the answer, he said. Ad okimna le avrom moshina yode umatsli umagninole. I was taking all my time with Avrom Avinu. I had to wash his hands and do Negelvasa. Negelvasa in Olam Abo is obviously a concept of Taro, because they don't sleep there and they don't have water up there. But it means that he was involved somehow spiritually in these Inyonim. And I had to daven with him. And after all, it was a long davening. You have to shachris and you have to do musaf, and it all took a long time. So they said to him, "V'chein liyitzok." The implication is that after he'd finished doing Avraham Avinu, I had to do the same thing all over again for Yitzchak. V'chein liYaakov. And when I'd finished the whole procedure for Yitzchak, I had to start again for Yaakov. So the Chavrei HaKoilu said, hang on a second, you have to do the whole thing for Avraham, the whole thing for Yitzchak, and the whole thing for Yaakov. V'luk minu b'hadi adodi. Do them all together, they've all got to daven. Why can't you get the regel vasa and wash six hands instead of three, instead of two hands? So you wash them all, and then when you finish doing regel vasa, they'll all daven together, they'll all say shachris together, they'll say hallel together. Why do you have to do the whole thing separately? Why do you have to do each one on their own? So the Gemara answers, Savi takvi barachmi umaisi leila mashiach. No. If I get them all davening together at the same time, they'll all say, Goyel Yisrael, they'll all say, Goyel Yisrael, immediately Mashiach will have to come. There'll be no chance. If all three were to daven together at the same time, the kavanas would be so perfect and so powerful that Mashiach would come, and it's not the time for Mashiach to come because it's below Zimna, it's not time yet. Omrule, they said to him, nope, I see what's going on in heaven, and if things are going on like that in heaven, maybe there's something like this on earth. Is there something similar in down here on earth? You've just told us what's happening in Olam Habo, so maybe we can learn from what happened up there down here too. You should know there are three tremendous tzaddikim down here on earth. One is Rabbi Chiya. Rabbi Chiya, I believe, is the nephew of Rabbi. The Rabbi Chiya and his two sons, they are the Madrega of Avraham, Yitzhak, and Yaakov for this purpose, and they are similar. As soon as Rabbi heard this, he decided, we've got a way forward here. Goza Rabbi Tainisa. So Rabbi decided he's going to make a Tainis, because the Tainis have a special Tzoyim, they have a special his Oirus, and all Klal Yisrael then does Teshuvah, and they come together. Achtinu Rabbi Chiya Uvonov. And he brought Rabbi Chiya and the two sons together. Rabbi Chiya was going to be the Baal Tefillah, and his two sons would be one on each side, and they were going to be the Shlichei Tzibur, and they were going to daven. And they davened, as you can imagine, never before. They all knew that they were going to try to bring Mashiach, and they were putting all their koiches into it. When they came to Mashivor Ruach, Venosh Vaziko, it was so. We all heard the joke of it raining today on Shmini Atzeres. It must be that our tefillos are miskabel. Who knows? Bizman Azer, we're nowhere near that Madrega, but it seems at the time of the Gemara that when, as soon as he said Mashivarach, the wind started to blow, and the presumably the rain was going to come down. It says Omer Moed Hagoshem v'Osa Mitros. They said Mashivarach, and the wind started. They said Moed Hagoshem, and the rain started, and it was exactly at that spot. Nowadays it doesn't happen exactly at the spot that you say Mashivarach. It might happen a little later when people make a joke about how good the tefillos were. Here, the moment they said Mashivarach, the wind blew, and at the moment they said Moed Hagoshem, the rain started coming down. So they realized they were onto a good thing. They thought they'd now succeeded. Ki motza lemeimer mechaya ha-meisim rogash almo. When they reached Mechaye HaMesim, all of a sudden there was a shaking, a gerida in the whole world. The world was moving. It was like an earthquake, or there was some seismological effects going on here, which was clearly a prelude to all the Mesim coming up, or to something happening. At this particular point, it's just to point out that Tosas asked a very famous question: why did they have to wait for Mechaya Mesim at the end of the bracha? There's a Mechaya Mesim at the beginning of the bracha. It's Ato Giborim Hashem Mechaya Mesim. So Tosas asked, well, why couldn't they be Mechaya Mesim if already they were successful at Mashivarach? Why weren't they successful at Mechaya Mesim? So Tosas answers and says it's the chasima of the bracha which has the koyach. That's the ikka at that particular point. So the second tenet of Tosfos is that really the chasim of the bracha is very, very powerful, and that's what you required to make it to be effective and worked. The first tenet is another that says it's because of the tal. The chias mesim has to have. Goes together with the Tal, and that's how it works. However, just like to point out that according to the Shitta of the Ritvo, the beginning of time is like the Kasha Ipsich Nishtar. There's no Kasha at all. Because the Ritvo asked the Kasha, there are four Mechaya Masons. Atamal Gibra Lem Hashem Mechaya Masim Atarav Lishat 1. Mechaya Masim Mechaya Masim, that's 2. Brachim Masimim Rebrech Motors Mechaya Masim Lishin Amicha Mechabach Midam Mechaya Mechaya, that's 3. And Nemon Atol Hachios Masim. So you've got 4. So says the Ritvo, they're not all the same thing. What, you're Davin Shmonesa saying the same thing over and over again? Why were Chazal Masakin 4 times the same thing? We don't need to. Just say one with Kavona. One could answer, I suppose, that Chazal knew that we don't have the Kavona we're supposed to have, and at least if we say it 4 times, one of them might have a bit of Kavona for. But the Ritvo gives a different answer. He says, you should know that this bracha includes all different types of Chias HaMesim. First, the fact that a person is alive altogether and he's got his parnasa, that's the first time. The gevura is that we're alive and we've got our needs. The second one, that is talking about a person who's become sick and ill, HaKadosh Baruch Hu can still help him to get better, lashon of making him healthy again. Says the third one, Mamis Umachaya, that's, it doesn't say Machaya or Mamis, there's Mamis Umachaya, because that's talking about a Novi who has the power on special occasions to bring somebody to life, like we found with Elioa, Novi, and Elisha. They brought somebody to life on a one-off basis. That's not general Tchias HaMeisim. The only one which is properly Tchias HaMeisim in the proper sense that we understand it as is Ne'emanat Olahachios Meisim. It's the last one which is the real Tchias HaMeisim. So the Fi Shittas HaRidvo, Tchias HaKasha doesn't even start, because he's the first ones are not related to Tchias HaMeisim. It's only the last one, and therefore according to the Ridvo, he doesn't mention this Gemara, but this Gemara fits in like a glove according to his Shitta, because it's only at the end of the Brocha that we're talking about the true Tchias HaMeisim. Anyhow, the Gemara says there's going to be Tchias HaMeisim. So Amri Barakia, all of a sudden, the Beis Medrash in heaven, which parallels the Beis Medrash in earth, someone says, Man Goli Rosaya Baomo, who's been revealing the secrets down there? As if HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't know. It doesn't mean that. It means we're looking at it from a humanistic, anthropomorphic attitude. This is the sort of thing which would have happened had it happened on earth. So in heaven, this is the idea. The president of the heavenly tribunal calls everybody together and wants a person to admit. So what happened? Amri, they said, Elio. It was Elio Anovi. He's the one who's revealed it. Asyuhu le'Eliyahu. They brought Eliyahu. Machyuhu shitin pulsi denura. They flogged him with 60 torches of fire. Now, you can't hit somebody with fire, but kavyochel, so to speak, it was as if there was the heavenly equivalent of a flogging, is that you hit them with fire. The logic being that in heaven everything is light, it's oyer, and therefore the appropriate method of punishment in the heavenly tribunal will be, with, so to speak, to purify through the light of the fire. That's the message which is coming through here. Because how can you hit somebody who is not physical? Elio Anovi was a spiritual being, and he's like a malach. But kavyochel, so to speak, they punished him with 60 pulsi. Now, again, we come to this concept of 60. Wherever you have a number in Agoda in particular, but it's the same also in other places, even in Tanakh and even in Shas, a number has a tremendous significance. The significance of the number 60 is well known. It's one of the three numbers which means a huge amount. There are three numbers which talk about huge amounts. That's the number 13, the number 60, and the number 300. And the reason why we have three separate numbers for large amounts is because it all depends on the category of thing we're talking about. If you're talking about diamonds, any more than one diamond is a lot. If you've got 13 diamonds, then you've got an absolute fortune. So 13 was used for that purpose. There's no point in using 300 because you belittle the whole subject. You make it too cheap. If you're talking of grains of sand, there's no point in talking of 13 grains of sand or even 60 grains of sand, because that's nothing. Therefore, you've got to come to 300 or possibly even 3,000. When it talks about the parochus, it talks about it being 3,000, because there you're talking of something which is, the threads are not that expensive, but they are if you take them all together, and therefore the number used is a much larger number. However, the standard number which is used for multitude in general, generally speaking, where you're not dealing with something specific like diamonds or something cheap like sand, will be 60. And that, interestingly enough, explains, just to give you one example of it, throughout Chumash, Klal Yisrael are always called Sheish Meos Ish, Sheish Meos Ragli, 600 Elef, always 600,000. Chazal, no, don't change the Lashon of the Torah for nothing. Although we say Lashon Chazal Lechud, that's only where there's a necessity or where there's some indication. Here, Chazal changed it. They don't call it Sheish Meos Elef. they always call it Shishim Ribo. Shishim Ribo is a post-biblical expression, because Chazal wanted to use that number Shishim together with the number Ribo, with the two, those two numbers together, mean an absolute limitless a number of people. As if to say that Klal Yisrael were without, they were numberless, there were so many of them. And Chazal got that by changing it from Sheish Meos Elef to Shittim Ribo, Shishim Ribo. So it's the same thing here. When they hit Eliyahu Shittim Pulse, they gave him a jolly good whacking, and it is the maximum punishment that you can possibly give to a celestial Malach up there. That's what it means. It means they were very, very annoyed with him. How did you dare reveal the secrets down on earth? So he knew how to do something about it. So Osi Osa Idmi Lehu Kedubo Denura. He came down to earth dressed like a bear of fire. Can you imagine? You're in the Besmedrish and you're saying Kedusha, and all of a sudden a bear of fire comes running around the Besmedrish. Not much would be left of the Kavoda after that. And he did it in such a way that a bear in particular is a very fierce type of animal. It's even more fierce than a lion and a wolf and these other, because a dove shakul, as it's often called, a bear with a, we have an English expression, a bear with a sore head. It means that the bears, once they get aufgeregt, once they get upset, they are very, very fierce indeed. And therefore the dove was the appropriate animal that he needed to do the trick here. So the Torodinu, he came down, Obi now, he came down, and then they were dispersed, and they weren't able to bring Mashiach. Now, it's a nice story, it sounds like a fairy story. Agoda aren't fairy stories, there's obviously far, far more depth in a little Agoda of this sort. Clearly, it's trying to indicate that things go on in heaven, ke'en what goes on earth. That's clear. And the same sort of affairs which we down in heaven are also replicated in the spiritual sphere. But what else can we learn from this? We can learn that there are people down on earth who have the koiches of Avram Avinu. However, there is one condition. That condition is that they work together be'achdus. They couldn't do it on their own. Now, if we go back to the beginning of that story, we saw that when Eliyahu dealt with Avraham on his own, when he dealt with Yitzhak on his own, and when he dealt with Yaakov on his own, there was no danger of Mashiach coming, because they didn't have the individual koyach to produce Mashiach. When they were all three together, davening together, it doesn't have to be a minyan, they work together, all their different facets of their personalities worked in harmony together, then Mashiach was bound to come. You can't stop him, the Gemara says. He'll come automatically. And down here on earth, it seems we do have this koyach, if we can get a replication of Avraham, Yitzhak, and Yaakov. And in the time of Rabbi Yehuda Anasi, there was Shaykh, because we had a father and two sons. The advantage of a father and two sons is they don't have negias, they're not jealous of each other, there are no human aspects of their character which are likely to impinge upon the each other, that each one wants to think, I'm better than the other one. This is probably why he had to have a father and two sons together, similar to Avraham, Yitzhak, and Yaakov, which were father, son, and grandson. To get three friends, so to speak, three strange people, and put them together, they may be great gedolim, but each one's got their own agenda, and each one is perhaps not entirely happy with the other one. Even if we were to put the Gedolei Ador together, it's not for me to say, but clearly they would not necessarily gel in the same way as Avraham, Yitzhak, and Yaakov, because one may have a Hasidic bent, one may have a different canonistic approach. It's not for me to put my head into that particular part of the program, but the point I'm trying to make is that the Gemara chooses three people who are closely related, and they were going to do the trick. Now, here I want to mention what the Sasser of a Rebbe, Zichron Levracha, once said to me. He said, "With this Gemara, I can answer the questions which I asked in the first place." He says the following: if you look at the cases in the Shmos and Vo'eiro, wherever it says Elokei Avram, Elokei Yitzhak, Elokei Yaakov. It's talking about general matters. I was a Kodesh Baruch Hu who looked after Klal Yisrael. It's not talking about anything relating to Mashiach or to Geula. However, wherever HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Moshe Rabbeinu, or if Moshe is saying to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we're going to have Klal Yisrael be redeemed, whichever it is, then it, when it uses the expression Pokod Yifkod, which is the password for redemption, as everybody knows, then it uses Hashem, it says, Elokei Avraham Yitzchak V'Yaakov. So the Chassam tells us to this Gemara. Whenever it says Elokei Avraham Yitzchak V'Yaakov, you look carefully through, and it's about this expression occurs about four or five times in Shemus and V'Eirah. When it says Elokei Avraham Yitzchak V'Yaakov, it's talking about Geula. However, when it's not talking about Geula, it's Elokei Avraham, Elokei Yitzchak, V'Elokei Yaakov. As if to say, when Avraham and Yitzchak and Yaakov have the same Hashem, obviously we all have the same Hashem, but when they've got the same attitude and the same koichas, then they will automatically bring Geula. The Achdus is what brings Geula. And that's what the suggestion of why Rashi says Vo'eira el ha'ovois. It doesn't say el Avraham, Elokei Avraham, Elokei. The Pasuk says Avraham, Yitzchak, Yaakov. It's not talking about Elokei. I came to Avraham, to Yitzchak, to Yaakov. Says Rashi, that is of us. That's the power of the of us. So Rashi Davka uses the expression of us to show they were all one, not three separate things like Elokei Avraham, Elokei Yitzchak, Elokei Yaakov. So the Kashta now comes back. We've answered the Chumash, we've answered the Rashi, but what about Shemayna Esra? Why in Shemayna Esra don't we say Elokei Avraham Yitzchak V'Yaakov if what we want is the Geula? The answer is, we haven't yet reached the bracha of the Geula. At the moment we're saying the Shvach of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the first three brachas are Shvach. We're not asking yet for our needs. That will come in Re'ev on Yenu. That will come later on at Tekah B'Shofar, Lushlaim Ircha, Semech David. All that is to do with the Geula. And then we don't bring in Avraham Yitzchak V'Yaakov for other reasons. But in the first bracha, it's not appropriate to say Elokei Avraham Yitzchak V'Yaakov because we're not talking about Geula there. We're just talking about the Shvach of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And there happens to be a different skula in Elokei Avraham. What's the difference? The skula of Elokei Avraham, Elokei Yitzchak, Elokei Yaakov is a gematria. Every number has a significance, as we mentioned before. The Kasha was once asked, why Elokei Avraham, Elokei Yitzchak, V'Elokei Yaakov? It could have been Elokei Avraham, Elokei Yitzchak, Elokei! It's not, why is there an extra Vav? We don't have to have a conjunctive Vav at the end of the three names, especially if they're all equal. We're not trying to say Yaakov was subordinate to Yitzchak. It's as if you said that with a Vav, it means there was so-and-so, and the other person becomes a subordinate. And he wasn't a subordinate. We know that Yaakov is in fact the equal. He's the Bechira of us, as we said in the Teuchicha. It says Zechad is B'si Yaakov first. So why have we putting the Vav in it? So the Mephoshim explain that the number of letters in Elokei, Elokei, Velokei is 13. There are 13 letters. And that also explains why we call him Elokei Yaakov, not Elokei Yisrael. After all, we should want to call him Yisrael when it's more elevated. Yaakov is his daily life. So some say, right, in Shemoneh Esra it's our daily life, we haven't yet reached Shabbos yet, and therefore Yisrael is a Shabbosnik name. So why on Shabbos don't we call him Elokei Yisrael and during the week Elokei Yaakov? Because Yaakov is the Vochadikah name, the business name. The answer again is, because Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov is 13 letters. If you said Yisrael, you'd have one letter too many. So to get Elokei Avraham, Elokei Yitzchak, Elokei Yaakov gives you 26. It's the power of Hashem which starts the Shemoneh Esra. And that's one of the Chassid, I think it's quoted in the Paradis Yosef somewhere, also says, it says in Shemar, Lulei Hashem Shohoi Li, Yomano Yisrael. David says, Lulei Hashem, were it not for the fact that I needed the Yud Kei Vav Kei, I would have been saying Yisrael in Shemoneh Esra, I wouldn't have been saying Yaakov. But since I need to get the Shem, I have to get the 26. Now, moving from there, we see that there is a power in the Shem Havayah of Hashem, and there's a power in the Achdus of Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov together. In this Gemara, we've been talking about the Achdus, the power that the Achdus can bring. But in the Shemoneh Esra, we start off with the power of Hashem. The Baal HaTurim says that the number of times that Yudke Vovke occurs in the whole of Shemoneh Esra is 26. 26 Shemas in Shemoneh Esra. Now I counted them and I came to 29. But the answer is simple. First of all, the Baal HaTurim is talking on the Tochacha, at the end of the Tochacha in Kisavu, he says there that the number of times that the Shem Havaya occurs in the Tochacha is 26 times. As if to tell us that if you don't get the message of Hashem properly, you will get a Tochacha for each one. And the Tikkun is to say Shemoneh Esra with Kavona, and every time you say Hashem in the Shemoneh Esra, you're banging away one of those klolos in the Tochacha. That's what he says. Now, the reason why he says there's 26 and we have 29 is simple. Ato Gibor Leolam Hashem is with Hashem Adnos. It's not the Yud Kei Vav Kei. There's a reason why that one has Aleph Dalet. That's not the Yud Kei Vav Kei. The Yabbos talks about it and explains why that one had to be Adnos, because this is the Shem Agvura, and therefore didn't want to have the Yud Kei Vav Kei in Ato Gibor. Therefore, that's one out. We're down to 28. The next one is clearly, originally, when the Tochacha had to be counterbalanced, it was counterbalanced by the Anshei Knesset HaGdolah who created the Shemoneh Esra. They created Shemoneh Esra, not 19 brachas. So when they did it, they didn't have V'lam al-Shini, which only came much later, time of Shmuel HaKotan. So bang goes another Shem. We're down to 27. But still, we won out. Are we going to rely upon the Kollel here or what? But the answer is even simpler. There is the Girsa of the Baal HaTurim in Shemoneh Esra. It differs from ours in Hoshiva Shoftenu. In Hoshiva Shoftenu, Gvoshon, Yatzen, Gvar, Kilav, Osim, and Yogam, and Achmelechon, Ato Hashem Levadcha. We say Ato Hashem Levadcha. He doesn't say Ato Hashem Levadcha. He left that out. That was missing from his Shemoneh Esra. There are differences in the middle of the Shemoneh Esra, not in the Chasim. The Chasim is absolutely identical, with the one exception of Lamar Shinim, and there's a reason for that, to do with the censor. But apart from that, the Chasim of the Brachos in Shemoneh Esra are sacrosanct everywhere in the world. Doesn't matter where you go, nothing has changed. It's one of the big proofs of the Kedusha of the Shemoneh Esra that the Anshei Knesset HaGdolah made, that you won't find any differences anywhere in the world, whether you're a Taimani or an Indian or a Chinaman or a Sfardi or a Chassid. You have plenty of differences in the body of the Shemoneh Esra, but nothing in the Chasima. Because the Chasima is, like Tosa said, it was the power of the Chasima which created the Tchias HaMeisim. However, in the body of the Shemoneh Esra, there are slight differences. And in the Baal HaTurim's Shemoneh Esra, in Hoshiva Shoftenu, he didn't have that Shem. Maybe it's a case of Kol HaMosif Gerer. Sometimes by adding words, we lose out. I often tell the Hasidim, who very often add extra words because they don't know which Girsa is correct, so they put both in, you're making it worse. One or the other, but if you put both in, you haven't got the school of either of them. An example of this is Alat Tzadikim. Alat Tzadikim is supposed to have 42 words because of the Kedusha of the number 42, which is an extremely powerful number. And this week, Seder, Parshas Masa, you've got the 42 Masas, the time of Bilam and Bolak, you have the 42 Korbanos. The number 42 is an extremely powerful, very, very powerful number. And I love telling this story, even though it's not directly relevant. When I was a little boy, early 1950s, they just invented the hydrogen bomb. And everybody was talking about nothing else but this new bomb, the hydrogen bomb. So we came into the cheder, and the Rebbe couldn't get started with the shir because everybody was talking about these bombs. So they asked one boy in the class who hadn't, for some reason, hadn't heard about the hydrogen bomb. He asked him, it's the atom bomb is the most powerful bomb. And then he went around, we'd heard of the hydrogen bomb, so it must be the hydrogen bomb. Somebody says it's a nuclear bomb. The Rebbe says, you're all wrong. The most powerful bomb is the Dibarta bomb. That's the powerful bomb. And I think it was a joke, but later on in life I realized bomb is Beis Mem. Beis Mem is 42. That's the name with which HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world. The Big Bang theory is a load of rubbish, but the fact is there was a Big Bang, there was a bomb. And the base of Bereshish was Tosha Biksav. And the Mem of Me'emesav, Tosha Baal Peh, is that bomb. And that's what is the kayak of the whole world, the Dibarta bomb. Or more correctly, the Dibarta bomb. But anyhow, so we see the significances in numbers, and if you start adding words where you shouldn't, you can make a complete hash of what should be there, really. Anyhow, let's go back to what we're talking about. The Bellatum says there's 26 Shemas in Shemaneshra, and each one of those Shemas will knock off one of the klalos. And the whole of Shemaneshra, therefore, which starts off with Elkei Avraham, Elkei Yitzchak, Elkei Yaakov, is giving you that message. This Shemaneshra has to have Hashem. And if you go back to Rabbi Chiyo Vonov, it wasn't just their achdus, it wasn't just their tzidkus, it was also their complete belief in Hashem, which gave them the power to be such tzaddikim, which will then be Mekarev Moshiach. Another gemach which I heard read in the Sefer by Rav Mordechai Potash, he says on the posuk which says Rabos Roos Tzadik Umukulam Yatzilenu Hashem, the word Roos has a gematria of 26 squared, which is the Shem squared. The 26 times the Shem occurs in a Tochacha gives you the Roos. How do you get out of that? Mikulam Yatzilenu Hashem. If you use the Yud Kei Vav Kei properly, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu will save us from all that. Now, why am I going into all these gematrias? Well, I want to go now to the Mishnah and Tinus. I don't know how much time we've got, but let me start. I was going to do this at the end, but I'll do the gematria first to show where we are going wrong in the 3 weeks. It's significant that Zechariah Hanovi says that there will be a tzoim horevi'i, a tzoim hachamishi, a tzoim hashevi'i, and a tzoim hoasiri. The fourth month is Tammuz, the fifth month is Tisha B'Av, the seventh month is Gitzam Gedalia, and the tenth month is Tevez. These are the four fasts which relate to the Churban. There are other fasts like Tanis Bechayrim, Tanis Esther, Yom Kippur. They've got nothing to do with the Churban. These four, Chazal were masakin for the Churban. If we can put our life in order, we will have the tikkun will be shalom. As Zechariah says, at the time of the Beis Bayis Sheni, when Klal Yisrael were behaving himself at the Beis HaMikdash, there was man shalom, there were time for parties, there was time for delight. But when Chas V'Sholom, the Adem Tekifo, when the Goyim got the power, as a machlokas, whether it means when the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, or whether the Klal Yisrael lost the Melucha, lost the power, whatever it is, they became days of tragedy. As a gematria, again, if I read this from Rav Mordechai Potash, if you take the numbers, the fourth month and the fifth month, that gives you 4 and 5 is 9, and the seventh month, which gives you 7, which is 16, and the tenth month gives you 10, that's again 26. The four fasts taken in the months together, telling you, Beremes, that these are 26. You've got to get the message through that we need Hashem in order to counterbalance the combination of these 4 months. But it goes further than that. If we take the day in the month when the Tainus took place, when we take it, the Yud Zayin B'Tammuz was the second Beis HaMikdash, and the first Beis HaMikdash was earlier, it was probably the 12th. But we know that we have the fast on Yud Zayin B'Tammuz, which was at the time of Churban Bayis Sheni. And Tisha B'Av was definitely on both Bate Mikdash, says in the Mishnah, on the 9th. So 17 and 9 is 26 again. Then we have Tzom Gedalia, which should have been on Rosh Hashanah, but we can't make a fast on Rosh Hashanah, so they pushed it off to the first available date, which was the 3rd. So 26 and 3 is 29. Finally, we have Asara B'Tavis, which is the day when they put the siege to the Beis HaMikdash, to Yerushalayim. 29 and 10 is 39, which is Hashem Echad. So whichever way you look at it, there are multiples of the number 13, which is a specially Jewish holy number. Elio Anovi is 52, which is 4 times 13, twice the Shema Vaya. All these, not without significance. It's as if to tell us, what's gone wrong on these four fasts is the absence of the belief in Hashem. That's the first cardinal feature. We've got to get that right. The complete belief in Hashem, just like Rabbi Chiya Uvonov, just like we start the Shemayin Esra. Once we can accept the Oil Malchus Shemayin Vashem Echad, we're on the way to dealing with the problems of the Churban. Now, if you look at why the Churban occurred, I found 11 different reasons mentioned in Shas. 11, by the way, is also a number, a very, very number. Wherever the number 11 occurs, there's tragedy around. And that's why we have two numbers, Achadosar and Ashtiosar. I think I may have mentioned this previously. Well, you'll find in the beginning of Devarim, it says, Vahiba Ashtiosar Chodesh, Achad Osar Yom Mechorev. Now, what's going on here? And the 11th month is Ashtiosar, and then Achadosar Yom Mechorev is a different word altogether. And what's going on here? Well, the answer is, and this is my own idea, that Achad Osar is one out. It's, you've got a minion as the perfect number. If you're one out of the perfect number, you're gone askew. That's why the Ketores has 11 ingredients, one of which it doesn't fit. The Chelbana is a foul smell, but if you bring it in with the other 10, you can put it right. Same thing you find the Achad Osar Koichvayo, the 11 stars, which happened with Yosef HaTzadik. He had in his 11 brothers, they were... They didn't get on as they should, and therefore there was a kitrug, and they were called. They said Achad Osar Anochnu. We are 11. However, not every 11 is automatically bad. I mean, if you're the 11th child of a family, it doesn't mean to say you're automatically bad, or your 11th month of the year doesn't make Shvat automatically bad. What it means is part of a series. So they changed the word from Achad Osar when it's part of a series and not intrinsically bad to Ashtei. Now, what's Ashtei? The Ibn Ezra quotes Rabbeinu Sadia Gaon as saying it means the number which is reaching 12. Ad Shteim Esrei. The Ibn Ezra himself disagrees with the Pshat because he said it should have been Ashnei also because it's the masculine. However, although he disagrees and gives a different Pshat, it is nothing wrong in having a feminine instead of a masculine. It's quite normal procedure when you're going to Hebraicize a word and incorporate it to use something similar. It doesn't have to be identical. And clearly the Rabbeinu Sadia Gaon accepts that this is a valid usage of the word, and therefore he says it's the word which reaches ad shteimeshe, the word which reaches 12. The word which reaches 12 means it's part of a sequence. There's nothing special about it. So whenever you have the names of the Nesi'im, you'll find it says Vahiba Ashtei Osar Yom, because that's referring to a list of Nesi'im. Just because you're the 11th Nasi doesn't make you automatically bad. But what I'm saying is, if you have the number 11, it does tell you something. And that's why, for example, Zochreinu L'chaim, the Chayodim says there are 11 words in Zochreinu L'chaim, because that, and the Baratum also mentioned, that's the Mispar HaTeshuvah. That's why we have 11 words, because you have to do teshuva, something is not as it should be. So these 11 reasons that I found in Shas. We haven't got time to go through all of them, but the question is, why do we need so many different reasons? We know that the basic reason given in Yuma is because of Sinas Chinom, and yet in Bob Matsir you've learned in Daf Lamed Amud Beis previously, it was because it didn't go lifnei Mishur Sadin, Mishnei Shaloha Minu Aldin. They insisted upon their rights. They wouldn't go lifnim mishuras hadin, and therefore HaKadosh Baruch Hu wouldn't let them wouldn't let them keep the Beis HaMikdash. In the Dorim, the Gemara gives a different reason. It says a mir mir al mo of Doritz shelo beruchu b'Torah techilo. They didn't make a bracha. So what are all these different reasons all about? We can't go through them all, but the truth of the matter is, you will find that all these reasons lead to the same conclusion. The Gemara Nedarim, which Yirmiyah said, they didn't make a bracha on the Torah Techila, means that whatever they did, they should have had a Kodesh Baruch Hu first in their minds. That's the point. Unless you've got the Shem of a Kodesh Baruch Hu firmly entrenched, nothing else will work as it should. So that's the cardinal thing, is to believe in Hashem. However, you'll find many of the things which happen were Ben Adam L'Chaveiro. They go together. There is a combination of, one on the one hand, of complete belief in Hashem and the mitzvahs Ben Adam L'Moko. On the other hand, you also find that the actual churban occurs because of Ben Adam L'Chaveiro. Now, that's why, for example, they wouldn't go lifnim Mishur HaSadin. That's a matter between people. So, which is it? The answer is it's both. Now let's now look at the Mishnah in Tainus. I'm going to prove it to you. The Mishnah in Tainus tells us, Chamisho devorim iros avaseinu b'shivasa b'tamuza, chamisho b'tisha b'av. Five things happened on Shivasa b'tamuza, and five things happened on Tisha b'av. Then the Gemara says the reasons. I'll do them very quickly. On Shavuos Batamos Nishtabu Aluchos, there was Egel and the Luchos were broken. Batal Atomit, Huvka Ha'ir, the walls were split to Yerushalayim. Sorof Apostamos is a Torah. Apostamos burnt the Torah. V'rum had Tzelem Behechol, and there was a Tzelem in Hechol. Now there's a lot of machlokus as to exactly when the Talmud was bottled and which Torah he did. I haven't got time to go into that now, but it's well worth looking at. It did happen. What exactly it was is a machlokus, whether the time of Menashe, time of the Churban, fine. But there are five things which happened. And then it says five things happened on Tisha B'Av. Nigzal essentially Konsul Oretz. There was a Meraglim, and they had the decree that all die in the wilderness. Chorav Avais Bereshon Abishnia. Two Bati Migdash were destroyed. That's three things so far. Nilkadov Beitar. Again, after the Churban, the Klal Yisrael set up outside Yerushalayim. They weren't allowed back in Yerushalayim, but the Romans wouldn't allow it because they thought they might revolt again. So they set up a subsidiary Mokum Torah and a Mokum for the Klal Yisrael to regroup. That was in Beitar, but 51 years later, they were destroyed completely. It was captured. V'nechru Shoha'ir, and the whole of Yerushalayim was razed to the ground, completely flat. Right, that's the Mishnah. I'm going to ask you a couple of questions. First of all, minyana osalimati mai. What's the Mishnah tell us? The number for wherever you have a number, like the beginning of Yerushalayim, chamesh esrei nachshon poches Torah seim. The Gemara says minyana lemiyotzi mai. What's the minyan for? Can't you count? I can count up to five. I don't need to be told it. So why is the Mishnah telling us five things happened? Secondly, this is most unusual Mishnah. Mishnahs are not like Gemara. Mishnahs don't contain agadita. Mishnahs tell you halachas. That's Mishnah, a simple psak halacha. The Gemara brings agada and tells us maisim and tells us all sorts of musa from that. But the Mishnah tells you halacha psukah. All of a sudden, the Mishnah seems to want to tell us stories. Most unusually, telling us what happened on these days. Now, do you think it was only these five things which happened? I'm sure many other things must have happened. Why does the Mishnah hone in on these five things and make an issue of teaching us this number five and teaching us what they are? Then, having finished that, the Mishnah continues to tell us what happened with Chamisha Asa B'Av and Yom Kippur. There were no happier days in Chamisha Asa B'Av and Yom Kippur. The simple explanation is he wanted to finish off on a nice note with Simcha. We didn't want to end up with Avelis. After all, you're Zechiv to finish. You're not allowed to finish with Dovah Ra, so therefore it finishes off with Binyan Beis HaMikdash B'Meir V'Yamein. Well, that's fine, but there's a long arichus in the Mishnah all about what happened on Chamisha Asa B'Av and how wonderful it was. And then the Gemara goes and gives about eight more reasons as to why Chamisha Asa B'Av was such a wonderful day. This Mishnah Omer Dor Sheni, it says it needs an explanation to what's going on. Of course we can translate it very simply, but we need to know what's behind the Mishnah. It occurred to me the following. Whenever you have a number, there is a significance to that number. If it's halachic, it might be to exclude something else. Here, it's not coming to exclude anything. It's not coming this to tell us anything other than the number itself has tremendous significance. The number five is the Jewish number. It's the number which creates belief in Hashem. We're all born with five fingers on each hand, five toes. It's the proof against evolution. It's more or less impossible for the world to have evolved with everybody having the same number of fingers, unless we all came from one Adam or Rishon. And it therefore more or less proves that we are from Hashem. And we've got to believe in Hashem. Secondly, the Aseres HaDibros were brought divided into two lots of five for the same reason. Moreover, it's well known from the Maral and others that the number five is the particularly Jewish number. Every number has a significance, but the number five is our number. Why? Because we're in the center of all numbers, between 1 to 10. Number five is the central number from 1 to 9. There's four numbers on each side of it, right in the center, but at the same time, it is got no chavrusa. It's by itself. If you want to make up 10, any other number, you'll take a separate number to make it up. 1 and 9, 2 and 8, 3 and 7, 4 and 6. 5, the only number 5 we'll make 10 with is its own 5. And Rabbi Lef once encapsulated this beautifully in the expression, a yid muzayn insulated but not isolated. We're like an electric light bulb. The light has to be in the center of the room to give its light. That's what a yid must do. Must give out our light to the goyim, to the yid, and to everybody. But be careful to insulate the wires which lead to it, otherwise you'll have a fire and the light will go out. It'll just be finished. A yid has to be in the center of all things going on and a beacon of light to everybody, but at the same time we have to be protected. We don't allow bishul akum. We don't have chasna with akum. We have all sorts of protections so we don't get influenced by the saviva around us. The person who knew this message better than anybody else in history was Yosef HaTzadik. Yosef HaTzadik, he was the most powerful person in history in Golos. And in Golos he had the most provocation and the most possibility of going astray until he saw the Demus Diukne Shel Ovev. He saw the picture of his father, he had it in his mind, and he realized, I'm Jewish, I can't do what these goyim do, and therefore he took protection against it. You will find in Miketz, whatever Yosef did, he did in components of five. To remind himself the whole time, he gave five chalifas smolas to Binyamin, he gave chamesh yodos, he did chimesh esorot, he divided the land, he gave 20% to the Kohen. Whatever Yosef did, it's always five. Because he knew the message of this wonderful number five, which a yid has to have in Golos in particular. Now, Kolzman, that the yid uses that number five correctly, it'll come and protect him. But as soon as you reject the message and lose it, it'll come to attack. And that's why in the Mishnah, it tells us there were five things happened. These five things weren't just stam five. These were five things because the Klal Yisrael had lost the message of what we stand for. Now, you find the same thing with the Aleph Beis. The Aleph Beis will protect us absolutely if we'll just learn its message. For example, the very first time the whole of the Aleph Beis occurs in one posuk, in Chumash, is in B'shalach Tez Zion, Posuk Tez Zion, talking about the Mon. As if to say, you behave yourself, Klal Yisrael, and you'll have whatever you want. The Mon will come and protect you. The whole of the Aleph Beis will be there on your side. However, you get it wrong, and then the Aleph Beis comes in Eicho, the first four chapters of Eicho, all written Derech Aleph Beis to punish Klal Yisrael. All the Aleph Beis is there to take, not to take revenge, but to guide Klal Yisrael back to where we should be, and we get all the problems of Eicho if we don't get it right. So the Aleph Beis is on our side. It will look after us if we look after it. It'll be against it otherwise. The same thing with the five here in the Mishnah. Now, if you look at the five things now, what the Mishnah, with that message in mind, this is what the Mishnah is giving us, you'll find that all five things in the first part, of which is talking about Shavuos of Tammuz, are all Ben Odom Lamakom. It's talking about burning the Sefer Torah. It's talking about Avodah Zorah in the Heichal. It's talking about the Egel. It's talking about the Bittul of the Talmud. There's nothing there which has been Odom Lachavero. The Luchos was smashed. Yes, fine. But that's been Odom Lamokum. As if to tell us that Shavuos HaBatamas is coming along to teach us you've got the Ben Odom Lamokum wrong. And if you get the Ben Odom Lamokum wrong, you're in for trouble. However, the trouble is not yet final. It's a preliminary warning. You don't believe in Hashem, things are going to go wrong. It's got to be. 3 weeks later, you'll have a Tisha B'Av. What happened on Tisha B'Av? Look at Tisha B'Av. Everything is Ben Adam Lachavero. Everything is our personal possessions. The Churban Beis HaMikdash was the destruction of the nationality of Klal Yisrael. Both times. Beis Har is also Klal Yisrael's stronghold. The last place in Eretz Yisrael which they had before they were scattered by the Romans was in Beit Har, destroyed. Nechrashoir, the last vestige of any personal possession in Yerushalayim, flattened. Where did it all start from? From the Meraglim, when Klal Yisrael were fighting with each other. They wanted to kill Yoshua and Caleb. They were machlokas, then you deserve annihilation. But what it's telling us is, there's two stages. There's a stage of Ben Odom Lamokom. If you get that wrong, your defences are down, and then you're ready for the chop. And the only way you can avoid that chop is to go back and believe in Hashem. Get back to Hashem. And then, automatically, the Ben Odom Lachavero will take effect. Let me just give you a practical example of why this works that way. I like talking about cars. You park your car, and all of a sudden somebody smashes into the back of it. Now, there's two ways of dealing with this. You can turn around to the fellow and say, "You mashugana, you idiot, how dare you drive like that? I'm going to put you in jail, I'm going to get road rage, I'm going to do this to you and I'm going to do that to you, and then you don't deserve, I'm going to call," and every colour under the sun. That's one way of handling it, which I'm afraid, unfortunately, is probably the gut reaction of the majority of the world. There's another way of handling it. "Oh, you must be the shliach of the Ribbono Shel Olam to teach me a lesson. I deserve that my car should get a bit damaged. Probably I didn't drive last week or yesterday with sufficient caution. Maybe I should have been more careful myself how I was driving my car. Maybe I cut in some more when I shouldn't. Maybe I double parked. Maybe I wasn't using the car quite properly. You know something? I thank you for teaching me this lesson. You're a shliach of the Ribbono Shel Olam. It's true you're going to have to pay, and the fact Megalglin Chayv Aladei Chayav, and you shouldn't have done it, and you must be guilty, because otherwise the Kodesh would have chosen a different shliach to do it, and you'll have to pay me, and I'm entitled to my money, and I'll take you to the best inn if you don't pay. But you know, really, what you've done me a big favor." Now, how are you going to get to which way you're going to? If you believe in Hashem, then the second way is cinch. That's how you're going to do it. If you don't believe in Hashem, then the first way is going to be automatic. And that's what the Mishnah is telling us. Believe in Hashem, and then you'll have a Bein Adam L'Chaver. You will go Lifnim Mishur HaSatin. You will have all the things which the Gemara mentions in Shabbos, which cause the Churban to be able to overcome them. All these different things which the Gemara mentions, some of them are Bein Adam L'Mokim, like the Bein Michal Shabbos, not saying Krishna. But most of them in Shabbos are talking about things Bein Adam L'Chaver. They didn't have proper respect for Talmid HaChomim. They didn't realize that there's a difference between a senior person and a junior person. All these things which are mentioned in Shabbos are all because you didn't get the cardinal point. You missed the point. You've got to realize there's a Yud Kei Vav Kei. There's a belief in Hashem. If you believe in Hashem, then all the rest follows suit. Now that's the message that I believe that this Mishnah is telling us. It starts off by telling us that Bein Adam L'Mokum was flattened. All these different things happened. But Bein Adam L'Chaveiro was still in existence. My father, Zichron Lebracha, used to be very fond of saying the following Dvar Torah. I think something similar in the Kliya Kor. He says as follows. The Pasuk says, when Moshe Rabbeinu brought the Luchos down, Vayashlech mi Yodov, he threw them down from his hands. If you look at the Pasuk, the Yodov is a Kri and a Ksiv. The Ksiv is Yodo, the Kri is Yodov. My father said the following. When Moshe came down, he saw Klal Yisrael all enjoying, dancing around together, very friendly. So he thought, "I'm only going to throw away the Bein Adam L'Mokum Luach, because right, the Vosh Avodah Zarah Lo Yir Lecha Anoich Hashem, I have to throw that one down. But the other one, they've kept it. Why should I throw the other one down?" Then Moshe said, "Ah, but as soon as they've thrown the first one down and the no longer believing in Avodah Zarah and Hakadosh Baruch Hu being Avodah Zarah, the consequence will automatically be Nacharav Nacharav will go." Then Yodov, he threw from the second hand as well. For an instant he thought he'd only throw one, that's the Yodo, but then he changed and he threw Yodov, because one leads to the other. Same thing in the case of Noach. So if a Tirmole Oretz, what's the passage saying in the beginning of Noach? The first passage in Noach. Something like that. The beginning of it's chapter. It's the second pasuk of Noach. First of all, Tishok v'fnei Elokim. Once they didn't keep the Bein Adam L'Mokum, the rest went with it. That now leads us to the final part of the Mishnah. The final part of the Mishnah talks about Chamisha Asabav. All the things which happened at Chamisha Asabav relate to being friendly with one's friends, believing in Hashem, and therefore not wanting to hurt anybody else's feelings. So that when they went out on Chamisha Asabav, they went out with kelim which weren't theirs. They were shared. They didn't have any gaiva, because if you believe in Hashem, your gaiva automatically goes. It says, "Kamar Hashem v'oretz adom rag Hashemayim kisi v'oretz adom raglo." HaKadosh Baruch Hu sits in heaven and he puts his feet on earth. However, if a person is a Baal Gaiva, it's Kilu Goychek Ragli Ashkenaz. HaKadosh doesn't want to know. A Baal Gaiva doesn't have any belief that he's in humility. He believes he's more important. So automatically all these other things happen. As soon as a person is humble, that means he brings Hashem into his equation, and then all the other milers will come, all the Ben Adam Lachaveri will automatically follow. All the things which happened, which I mentioned, which happened on Chamisha Asa Ba'av, all the things represent a Klal Yisrael coming Ba'achdus. And that's the same as this Gemara here, with Rabbi Chia and his two sons. Their Achdus, their belief in Hashem, led to a complete Achdus between them, just like Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. They had different midas, but when they worked together, then Mashiach is guaranteed. So and that is also why the 15th of Av is on the 15th, because it's 3 times 5 again. The message of 5 is taken, 3 is Chizuk, you've taken the message of 5 b'chizuk properly, and that's why 15 is the happiest number, because it is this understanding of the principle of the 3 times 5, which means that a Yid has to be completely given over to the worship and service of Hashem, and by doing that he will keep himself together with other Yidden, but he will know that his tachlis in life is to help other people, is to do what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants him to do, which is to do the mitzvahs, and both Ben Adam Makom and Ben Adam L'Chaveiro, they go together. And then if you have that message, after believing in the unity of Hashem, and we then move to Lifnim Mishras Adin and the removal of all sin aschinam, because there's no need to get angry or hate anybody else, because we're all servants of Hashem. I believe that that's the message of this particular Agadata, and the message of the Mishnah in Tainis, which is teaching us that first get clear in our minds that the Ribbono Shel'Olam is in the ruling of the world. That's why it starts Shemoneh Esrei with the Chotvav, the 26th Shemus in Shemoneh Esrei, teaching us regularly. You're supposed to have special kavanah every time you come to the name of Hashem in the Shemoneh Esrei, because once you've accepted the Ol Malchus Shomayim, we say Hashem Echad in Krishna, we accept Ol Malchus Shomayim, automatically we negate oneself. If you look at the Sefer Toma, Devorah, he points out that they go together. Belief in the Achdus of Hashem creates an Anova. The main human emotion is the characteristic of humility. Once you've got that Anova, then automatically all the other things sprout from it. You will then realize you're not so important. You will look after other people. You will be prepared to do Lifnim Mishras Hadin, and you will do all the things which create the Achlus and Klal Yisrael, will remove the Sinas Chinam, and will have the Beis HaMikdash Meir Yomeinu.